Now, David's had a chance to think it over, pray about it, and to get some accurate information, find out what the mind of the Lord is. So what's he going to do? Well, we'll get our foot in the door of chapter 15. And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Well, it had always been in a tent. So David now wants to bring the ark up. Listen to David now. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and a minister unto him forever." Now David straightened out now. Before, you could put the ark on a cart. But that wasn't God's method. God had given strict orders of how the ark is to be brought out. And now David is preaching a good sermon on that. He's learned by a sad experience. Now he's going to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. And this is going to be doing a right thing in a right way. Before, it was doing a right thing in a wrong way. Now here in chapter 15, David's going to do it the right way. And the question is, David, why didn't you do that at first? Why did you have to have the sad experience that you did? Well, that's the way most of us learn. It's easier to hindsight's better than foresight, they say, is the old cliche and the old bromide. Well, it's easier for me to go back in and say, David, you did it wrong. And why didn't you do it right at first? And then McGee turns right around, and the next step I take, I do it wrong. And then I have to learn that you have to do it God's way. May I say to you, that's the experience of most of us. Now, David is prepared to do it God's way. Verse 3, "And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he'd prepared for it." Do you remember in days gone by that when America faced a crisis, there was always a day of prayer called for? My friends, that belongs to the dark ages. We don't do that today. We just get together the brain trust in Washington, and they're going to solve the problem. And the only thing is, we have learned that the brain trusts were as foolish as little children in decisions they've made in the past. That is the tragedy of America in this dark hour in which we're living. Oh, my friend, today, I think it would be very important to gather all Israel together to bring up the ark of the Lord. David thought that is important, and God thought that was important, and that's what God put in Chronicles, his viewpoint. Now he gives the list of these who brought it up, sons of Kohath. Verse 12, "And he said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I prepared for it." And David had prepared a place for it. I'm not sure where that place was exactly. Was it the field at this time of Araunah, the threshing floor? I'm of the opinion that it was, but I don't want to be dogmatic about that, because later on he bought that place as being the place the temple is to be built. Now that's Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac. That same ridge that is called Mount Moriah that went right down through Jerusalem, beginning at the temple area, it went right over to where Golgotha is, and Christ was crucified on that. And so this spot, apparently, that was picked here. Now will you notice, verse 13, "For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." Now, David, very frankly, now confesses he blamed God at first, you will recall. He thought God was wrong in taking the life of Uzziah. Then he discovered, we've done this thing wrong. You've got to do it God's way. Now, he confesses that. "So the priests and the Levites," this is verse 14, "sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." Have you noticed the repetition of that expression, the ark of God, the ark of the Lord God of Israel, the ark, the ark, the ark? Well, here it is, again and again and again. And you do get the impression that the Lord's talking about the ark, by the way. It's very important to him. Now we are told, verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. That is back as we saw in the fourth chapter of Numbers. He was not doing it God's way. Now we are told here, David was a musician, and he wanted music with all of this. And it's nice when it's the right kind of musicians and the right kind of music. And so here, he appointed the singers with the instruments of music and the psalteries and the harps and the cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. My, I tell you, they had the brass band out there that day. They had the symphony orchestra. And it was a great occasion. Now, this was the high point in David's coming into Jerusalem. It wasn't the capture of the city. God doesn't record that here. And it wasn't the great building project that's emphasized. It's the emphasis upon the spiritual. That is where God is putting the emphasis, and I hope we get the message here. Now we read in verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Oh, this was a great day. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. All of these sacrifices pointing to Christ. Verse 28, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. I have always, in every church I served, always wanted a big orchestra. I never did have one my entire ministry. I guess the Lord just didn't want me to have one. But I believe that one of the reasons the church service is so dead today, and the reason that the world's passed it by, you take a look at people going to any church today and see if they look happy. See if there's joy in their lives. My friend, I was looking at a newscast, and it showed the crowd at a baseball game. And I want to say, I didn't see a sad face in the lot. Even those losing didn't seem to be sad. They seemed to be having a good time. And the tragedy of the hour is God's people don't seem to be having a good time. We ought to. Oh, I tell you, the world in that day heard about David bringing up the ark to Jerusalem. You know why? Why, the visitors that were there went throughout the then known world and said, say you should have been at Jerusalem. That was a great day, a great day. Have you noticed that there's nothing today on news, there's nothing that gets the front page today that reveals that which is spiritual and the joy of the Lord? Oh, if it's a freak sort of thing, if it's an oddball in religion, if it's some religious nut, they put him on or put them on. But my friend, today, that which is spiritual and that which is joyful has disappeared from the life of America. And that's when we began to die, by the way. Now, not everybody was in accord with David. Verse 29, came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at the window, saw King David dancing and playing. She despised him in her heart. She says he's a religious fanatic. He is one that's showing a little interest and enthusiasm, and he's got joy in his heart in serving the Lord. My, we need a little more of that today. And I don't mean that which is worked up psychologically by a crowd. I mean that which the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life today. It does not have to be fanaticism. But we do need that underlying river of joy flowing through the hearts and lives of God's people. That's the great message in this chapter here.